Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm great.
Great.
Yes, inside, out of the wind and the rain. And you?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I'm expecting warm and spring and summer and...
Any minute now.
Yes. Yes, that's why I'm here in California, you know?
That's right, for the good weather. Exactly.
Yes.
So I understand we are the good news this evening.
We are the good news. And the good news, as you know, is that you are on retreat with what you practice is what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And you have generously arranged your schedule to be with us here.
Yes, well, and it's very generous of all of the folks on retreat that we just actually rearranged the schedule without consulting them, but they were very gracious in not complaining and just rearranged the schedule and so that we could be here, and it's good.
Great, and that means we have more time to talk to our lovely callers.
Yes, and I'm guessing we have lovely callers, even though we've thrown them this curve, right?
I would say in the singular right now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure that many more will be joining us.
Oh, very good. Very good.
And I have some announcements here.
Uh-huh.
You will be in Rhinebeck, New York at the end of May. That's the 27th through 30th at the Omega Institute.
Yes.
And folks can register through Omega for that.
Yes, and I'm hoping that they're having a sunnier, drier spring than we are currently having.
Yes, yes. And then you'll be back in California for Spirituality and Business. That's the weekend of June 10th through 12th at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, and you'll be co-leading that with Mark Lesser.
Yes.
And I hear the highway is almost repaired.
Oh, good. Almost repaired.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that heads up. I think I'll be looking into how that's going to work out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Airlifted in.
Yes. And then June 18th through 25th, There Is Nothing Wrong With You. This is a retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Mm-hmm.
And new on the schedule, July 6th through 13th, What You Practice Is What You Have.
Yes. We're going to... open this up for the folks who didn't get into this one in California and the ones who, or North Carolina or anybody else, that hoping that we can fit this in to the schedule for teachers and students and folks who tend to have summer off, that it's difficult for them to get on retreat at other times of year.
Great. Hmm? And the prerequisite for that is completing the Time to Feel Good email class.
Yes. The November, December, January, or April class.
Great. Great. And then July 16th through 23rd, Not What But How. That's a retreat that you'll be leading at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
That's so.
And
July is a big month at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
You know, I've been thinking, not much downtime for those monks.
No. We have two retreats and then the month-long deepening practice retreat. So...
Yes.
It's going to be a big time.
Yes, big time.
And hopefully the sun will be out by then.
I hope so.
So we're looking forward to that.
Great. And then at the end of July, the 29th and 30th, you'll be at Namaste in Felton, looking at what do power, success, and fun have in common. And this is a fundraiser for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Mm. And I think by then the most recent trip to Cantalomba will have been completed. So we'll have lots of good information for people about what it is that they're supporting with that.
Oh, that is very exciting.
Yeah.
And the trip blogs, of course, they go along with that.
Yes.
August 12th through 14th, another weekend workshop at Esalen that you'll be leading. It's called What Do These Questions Have in Common?
Hmm. And then on October 1st, what happens?
The 10th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk in San Francisco to support the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes, and I happen to have some insider information about that. The
things great.
That are being planned. Oh, you don't want to miss it.
Great. Sounds like you're not going to spill the beans right
nope.
now.
Nope. Nope. Not giving away a thing, but it's going to be fun.
Great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
And a reminder to our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. And they have started joining us, Sherry.
Good.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. It's Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
You're hanging on up there?
Yeah, the sun finally came out. On Saturday, Seattle area received actually the monthly average rainfall for May on all on Saturday.
Oh, my goodness.
In one day. So that's what we're all caught up.
Whoa. Okay, I'm going to quit complaining. All right. Okay.
Well, yeah, even so, it's not like we have tornadoes or earthquakes, but the weather's been a big gripe for basically everybody I know all year long.
Gives us something to complain about, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, well, what's going on besides that?
Well, gosh, you know, yesterday I was kind of all planning out what I'd talk about today, but, you know, I'm noticing is, and what I've talked to some other people about is the difference between me at home on this, well, my wife's on the retreat this time versus the very first time, which was however many years ago that was, and just, it's not like I'm riding on a flying carpet or anything. I'm still dealing with a bunch of things that pop up and things that aren't going as planned or whatever, but it's still going so much better. And just the whole even getting ready to go and setting everything up is so much more casual.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier, which is not to say it's easy, but it's, I don't know. Am I making any sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, of course, what I think of is practice.
Mm-hmm.
So we start out with something, and it's really, really hard and complex and stressful and all of those kinds of things, and then we keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, and pretty soon it becomes familiar, and all the things that, you know, were surprises the first time don't surprise us after the fifth or sixth time, and, you know, it just all gets easier. And as you say, stuff still happens. But it's not there's not the level of anxiety that makes whatever it is that arises a problem.
Yeah, today there was some anxiety. I'm trying to figure out some dinner and some other food, and then I'm making all these things, and I had to do some other. Anyway, time was short, and I was starting to get all I was in that phase I go into where I need to do this, and I need to do this, and I need to do this, and it's kind of and so I. At that exact second, I was kind of doing nothing except standing there immobile. My cell phone went ding, and it was a tweet from you, and it said, I think record and listen, send me because you can, or something like that.
I got that one today, too. It was fun.
I grabbed it, and I went down the hall, and I expressed my frustration and inability to figure out what to do. And when I actually, because I don't always do that, and I can't say my recording listening is actually all that continuous and whatever in my life, but every time I do it, what I notice is I'll talk into it about this thing that I'm having, and then when it could just be 30 seconds or a minute later, I get it out of my system, and then when I just switch hands with the recorder, and then I feel a change, this feels different and lighter inside. And then when I start speaking, you know, I think the advice I gave myself was, you know, relax, basically, take a breath. This is not the end of the world. And actually was able to come up with an idea to bake bread and make pizza at the same time. So,
aha. Uh-huh. You know, thank you. I never thought about that before. You're holding the recorder with one hand, and you're talking about whatever is going on, and then you stop, and you put the recorder in the other hand. So it's a whole system signal that, okay, that's over, and now this new thing is going to happen. And then there's the mentor.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it works for me. I've always liked that two-chair exercise.
Yeah.
And if I'm not near two chairs or whatever, I just change hands. And I always wait until I can always sort of feel when I'm basically done complaining about whatever it is. And then I can feel a difference when the mentor talks.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I really like that because that kind of anchoring, grounding in the body, you know, so that the whole system gets that signal that, all right, there's been a shift, there's a change now, and that transition can be the opening for the mentor to come in. So that's and to get it, to get the recorder, it's like, okay, person, you know, you're having a hard time. Good, you expressed it. We heard you. Now your turn is over. It's kind of reminds me of that Native American talking stick thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
where the person who has the stick gets stuck. So now the recorder's in the other hand. So this somebody else is going to talk, and that somebody else is the mentor, which is very good.
Yes, it was very helpful. And just the number of tools that are available now compared to 4 years ago.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, yeah.
All
well,
I
good.
Make, I use them.
It's good. Yeah, it's good to know that you're all right. That you're doing well. We can actually, the rest of your family is getting that information as we speak, and I'm glad to know that the weather is on the upswing and all is good.
Yes, it is.
Good.
All right.
All right. Thanks. Good night, Chris.
Thanks very much, Erin. Good night. Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Right.
Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Next caller. Are you there? Back to that one. Try another one. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Jasmine calling from San Francisco.
Hello.
Hi. I'm a little out of breath because I was running for the place where I was going to sit and talk to you. Is there a lot of noise that's a problem for you in the background?
No.
Okay.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Great. So, I am calling as part of a commitment and also to bust conditioning chops because I have been dragged into the dark room lately. Yeah. Dealing with a number of like content that's really real, but also I got out of the dark room for little breaks, and I was seeing that a bunch of my support kind of went away for reasons just having to do with what's going on in my life, and also that conditioning really bamboozled me in the email class in April, and also with my reflective listening buddies, causing me to drop out of that for a quarter.
Ooh.
And yeah. And so I am calling because of my commitment, and also because conditioning likes me to call in with success stories, but when I'm down, it says, oh, you can't call.
Aha. Well, then, good
so
for
I'm
you.
I'm calling for support.
Yeah,
yeah,
good for you for recognizing how it got you in those other situations and using that, I'm guessing, to see through how it was trying to do it to you in this situation and not falling for it.
Yeah, yeah, and I really, it was a workshop, you know, all day making the call because I hadn't planned it in advance, and so I had to actually ask my boss, should I just change my schedule and dodge out of work and then go back to work, you know, after the call? So anyhow,
Go ahead.
Basically, what I'm looking at is, given that situation of being in the dark room, coming up for a breath of air, and realizing I need to put my support, I need to rebuild my support structure, and I also have this urgency about it because I'm going to be going on a trip where I'm going to be visiting my parents and some of my sisters, and that I don't want to start that trip in a down position, you know?
Yes.
Like, I know I'm going to need extra support then, and my support now is not as strong as it has been. And so that's kind of where I'm at. Like, what can
now,
I do for this person?
How did the voices talk you out of support?
Oh, so the first thing that happened was I thought I had signed up for the next quarter of reflective listening, but I hadn't.
Mm.
So I must have just been completely unconscious. Like, I remembered signing up for a quarter, but it was the past quarter. It wasn't the new quarter.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sobering,
so there went that. It is, yes. It really is. And I have to say that I've been on kind of the hairy edge of that a couple of times, and I've been able to get in anyway. But this time I was actually past it. There was no more partners. Like, I was past the deadline, and there was no more partners. And so I have to give kudos to Reflective Listening for their kindness when you don't quite make the deadline. But then the other thing that happened was I had to have a minor surgical procedure, and I was not supposed to go swimming or be in a hot tub for 2 weeks after the procedure. And swimming is my major form of physical exercise. And somehow somebody believed conditioning when they said, well, when it said you can't exercise for the next 2 weeks.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I fell for that, and then what started happening was I wasn't sleeping very well because exercise really helps, like, maintain my sleep very, you know, regular.
Mm-hmm.
And so so I found myself, woken up at 4:30 in the morning by conditioning and having, you know, and just having somebody there who fell for it.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, because it sounds like it's really an all-out attack. What are you going to do?
Yes. Well, that question came to me, and if you ask the person who's in the dark room, it's like despair,
right?
So I can only answer that question, I see, when I'm in the light room.
Yes.
And I think the only answer to it is full-on counterattack.
Yes. So let's explore a little bit of what that's going to look like, since you're making this foray into the light room here. How are you going to remember who you are and what you're about?
Well, one thing that I have yet to put in place is the tweet. So, number one, I rearranged my cell phone plan a while back that I don't get the tweets yet. So, number one, I'm going to start getting those tweets.
Good. Excellent. How about the old-fashioned, low-tech, make a big sign for yourself?
Okay.
That says,
yes.
I exercise every day. Whatever it is, you know, whatever you decide you need.
These are my supports.
Yeah, these are my supports. Are there people
yeah.
that could act as reflective listening, informal reflective listening buddies, since you've been doing this for a while?
You know, yes. I have two people in my life who could do that.
Yeah.
One being my therapist, but she'd probably be open to having, you know, shorter calls. So usually my appointments with her are longer and in person, but sometimes they're over the phone.
Yeah. So see if you can get a couple of people who will just reflect you so that a couple of times a week you have that.
Yeah, that would be so great.
And you have a sitting, you have a sitting group?
Oh, Sherry, I went to the sitting group last night for the first time in about 2 months, and I was so proud of myself.
Good for you. That's excellent.
And it turns things around. I mean, Sangha, there is no substitute for Sangha.
Yep. So that goes on your list, right? I go to sitting group every week.
Every week.
Yeah, I have my reflective listening calls with this person once a week, with this person once a week. I do what the tweets say. Now that would be a
commitment. I don't just read them. Yeah, I don't just read them and say, "Oh yeah, that's nice."
Yeah, that's cute.
Later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Good.
All right, so
good.
All right. There's a smile on my face.
Excellent.
And this person who's suffering, I have to say, when I got out of the dark room for this period of time, you know, to take a breath or got above water, sometimes it feels like, I really felt a softening and a compassion for the person who suffers through that.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Because she suffered through it so many times before.
Yep.
And there just was not the self-hate there. So on top of everything else she's dealing with, she didn't have to deal with a whole load of self-hate.
Yeah, and so that would be a good thing to have on your list, right? I commit to not abandoning her again.
Yes. Well, I like to say being with her. I'm always right here with you.
Yeah.
I commit to being with her.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
Which means doing all of those things that help you remember to look at that list and do the things on the list every day so that you will be with her in the light room.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's
And I could record,
program.
I just record that list too.
That's right.
I have a recording of my commitments to myself, but it feels like I need a special remedy right now.
So you have the, you know, you write it all out and hang it up somewhere where you, you know, in the bathroom or wherever you see it every day, first thing, or where you see it often, hang it on the refrigerator, whatever works for you, and then have the recording so that you're putting the same energy into stopping this attack that has been going into the attack.
Yeah.
And not in a fighting it way, but just you're going to take all of your attention away from it and turn it to where you want it to be.
Right. Not fighting it. Yeah. I got the image of that kind of move in like Aikido where you're grounded and you just turn to the side and this whole load of stuff goes right on past.
Yes, and then to complete that image, then you walk over to the door, walk out of the room, close the door firmly behind you, and keep on walking, and leave that load right there.
Okay, yeah, in the dark room.
Yep. There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I'm so glad I got through.
Yeah,
thank
me
you.
Too.
Thank
Let
you
me
so
know
much.
How it goes.
Yeah, I'll check in. I'll check in again.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Stop, Drop, and Breathe and Sangha Market, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and chat on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Todd.
Todd.
Hi. You know, I got on last week, so if there's more people in the queue, can you go to them, and if there's time at the end, come back to me? I'd like to give other people a chance.
Well, that's very gracious and generous of you. We'll be back.
Can we do that? Should
sure.
we do that? Awesome.
I bet
take
Michael
care.
Can do that.
That would be great. You take care, you two.
All right.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you.
Yay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hey, Janet.
Hi.
What's going on? What's going on?
Well, I was totally not expecting to call, but when I got on and saw that there was hardly anyone on, I thought, well, I'm calling.
That's right.
And it was it was perfect because I was just in the middle of writing a blog, and it was about how I was just being beat up about I was getting the message that I really am not spiritual enough, quotes, and I should really quit this practice.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just after having a group, and there was some, and I noticed this, you know, message that came up. That it was a comparison with another person, and then it was this whole, this is what conditioning always does. It just goes to the end thing, and the end run is you really need to quit this practice.
Mm-hmm.
It always goes there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter what the content, that's the end.
Right.
Just quit the practice.
Yeah, quit the practice. Yeah,
there's nothing else
on.
For it.
Yeah.
So when I got on to listen, so I was writing my blog, and then I turned, I got on, saw the radio show, put it on, and then I just called right in. I said, this is so perfect because, you know, this is the message I'm getting is that I really don't do anything. You know, I really don't involve myself in the practice, and yet it's so not true.
Well, and, of course, you know, the perfect response to that is, oh, well, yeah, you're right. I should do more. Yeah.
But what my response tonight was, it was like, wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, or you're a fake, really. A fake what?
Uh-huh.
A fake what? What would that be? You know, and it's just so funny how it always gets there. But it's also great because you're having the retreat right now, and that's one of the things that's coming up is I wasn't able to go to the two you had, and then in the one in the summer, I have to go to my nephew's wedding during that, so I'm not going to be able to go to that one. And so conditioning has just been saying, oh, well, you need to quit. If you can't go to that retreat, I'm coming to a different retreat in the summer, but I have to go to that retreat.
Or you should quit.
You know, yeah. It's always, so you need to quit. So it's, I love that it always adds that you need to quit, because then it just makes it so laughable.
Yes, laughable and obvious. And are you training yourself that every time you hear that message, you do something to reaffirm your commitment to practice?
Well, yes. What I was doing right then was making sure I don't stay in the dark room. It's like, great, I can call into the radio show, report it. I'm writing on the blog and reporting it right now. And I'm also recording it.
Yeah.
And listening and, you know, getting, you know, the message from my mentor, which is, isn't this great that you can see this and you know that there's, you know, really nothing to this?
Yeah. Yeah. And so that could be the practice, right? Every time it says that, you record something about what you appreciate most about practice, how you've changed most in practice, the possibility that practice, possibilities that it opens up for you, what you're most thankful for about practice, you know, just what you enjoy most, just whatever.
Oh, that's good, Sherry. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and so every time it says it, you do the thing that brings you closer to practice. And it'll be interesting to see what it comes up with next, because that's not going to be popular for very long.
No, I love that suggestion. I haven't done it that way. So in a way,
you know, it when we, I mean, obviously it is great to see it. And if it can still engage us, you know, as long as something it's doing engages us, it will keep doing that thing. So
even though I've seen it over and over, it still engages me.
Yep, yeah, because it's like, oh, that again. Oh, that is so ridiculous. And yet it's still getting your attention. And that
it is, yes.
Yeah, so to have that be a signal to bring your attention to something else is going to, kill that flame.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That is such a great suggestion. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I really appreciate that.
I'll be excited to hear how it goes and and what it comes up with next to fill in that. Because, you know, I picture it like with this giant long list, you know, and so it's on you should quit practice. And then that no longer works. So it gets a little check mark next to it, and then there's the next thing on the list. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Let's dinner with this, and just keeps working down through the next thing that you might fall for, next thing you might fall for. So each one of them that you use to deepen your commitment to practice, to bring your attention back to where you want it to be, you know, after a while, what we get is it's working for me. I'm no longer feeding it; it's feeding me.
That's great. That's just what I needed tonight.
Very good.
So thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Oh, and by the way, it's raining here, too.
It's raining everywhere as far as I can tell. So that's good. We're all,
okay.
It's a Sangha thing. We're all in this together.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay. Thanks, bye, Sherry. Bye, Michael. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Melissa in D.C.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
What's going on in D.C.?
Oh, it's, I think it sort of gave up raining. It's 50-50 right now. It wants to, it doesn't want to, I don't know.
I can't worry about it.
No. So This is the first time I've called. I've been listening for a while. And I'm kind of surprised to get on, like a lot of people are.
Mm-hmm.
I've been looking at a specific situation in my life where I'm dealing with a difficult person, and he's my boss. And I get sort of trapped into a story about what he is and isn't doing, and how I can or can't cope with the situation. And I heard something earlier on tonight's show that was really helpful, which is that definitely focusing on myself is where the relief comes from.
Yes. And do you have a sense of how that would work in your situation?
It works. You know, when I'm doing that, when I'm focusing on myself and, you know, taking care of myself and, you know, when I'm doing that, it doesn't feel as bad.
Yeah. It's kind of logical when we say it just right out like that, isn't it?
Yeah, that means when I'm not worried about what everybody else is doing, it does feel better.
Yeah.
So I see that.
And then what does it hit you with?
And then it actually starts to get, it starts to make me feel like the story is that then now I should feel bad for not trying to help the other person.
Oh.
Or not trying to help my boss more. In other words, you shouldn't take care of yourself. You should take care of this person. This person's obviously very sick.
Uh-huh. So either it wants you to obsess about what's wrong with him.
Right.
Or then the conversation turns to what's wrong with you that you're not sympathetic, compassionate toward him.
Yes, right.
You gotta love that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so all roads then lead back to really the only thing you can do is take care of yourself in the situation.
Right.
And the taking care of yourself, what would that look like for you?
And that's where it gets. there's a part of me that wants to just protect myself and, you know, get out of the situation, like not be exposed to that anymore. And then the other part is trying not to let it, you know, trying not to identify with the person who's hurt by that situation.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh. And do you have a sense of who that is who's hurt by that situation?
Yeah. Yep.
Is it someone young?
Yes. Mhm. Mhm. She's young. Yeah.
And so it's interesting, isn't it, how conditioning would want to frame taking care of yourself.
Right.
But really all it comes down to is not allowing someone who's young and vulnerable to be in a situation that an adult really needs to handle.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you taking care of yourself is actually taking care of her, simply not putting her in harm's way.
Right.
And can you get a feel for how you would do that?
Well, not taking her to work with me would probably be.
leave her in daycare.
Yeah, that might help.
Yeah.
Because
as an adult, you know how adults are. You know, I mean, whatever is going on with him, you know, it's it's his deal, and he's got to find his way through it.
Right.
And you need to find your way through whatever is going on with you, and that's kind of, that's sort of an equal deal, right?
Yep.
And you might at some point decide, you know, I've learned everything there is to learn in this situation. I think I'll go do something else. Or you may decide, you know, people are people and stuff is stuff and there are problems everywhere and I like it here, so I might as well just stay and be all right with this.
Right.
But the thing that is going to be the constant in it is that you're going to be mentoring that young person to help her grow into the wisdom and compassion that will enable her to be a grown-up who can function with kindness and compassion and care, equanimity in life.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Because what happens in that, of course, is that as you take care of her, you're being taken care of, so you receive the mentoring that she needs. You're transformed, she's transformed, and you know, could get lucky, and he might be a little transformed by the whole thing too.
Right. Now, is that? So it should be, so what I should be doing or what I can be doing is like a separate mentoring outside of work, not in the middle of whatever's going on.
Yeah. So job one, as you've identified, is don't take her to work.
Okay.
Right? So you're like any, you know, parent with a child, you're just kind of helping her learn how to operate in the world. How not to take things personally and how to understand that, you know, people have a hard time and when they have a hard time, they're often unkind, you know, just as I am, just as you are, you know.
Yep.
Those kinds of wisdom sorts of messages. And then when you're at work, that grown-up who's doing awareness practice, who's attempting to wake up and end suffering, can use the situations that she runs into at work for her spiritual practice, to learn from, to grow from.
Okay.
Not in that way that people want to do, where conditioned mind says, okay, this is a really awful situation, so you need to stay there forever because that'll make you the right spiritual person, and if you're not happy in that situation, then you're the wrong, you know, not that. But just say, you know, it's all a workshop, and for right now, this is as good a workshop as any.
Okay.
Will you let me know how it goes?
Yeah, I definitely will.
All right, I appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Good night.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, once you swam in a river of
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Watchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, And we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
That's good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Nancy from Texas.
Hey, Nancy.
Where it is not raining, but it should be.
And we could send a little of ours down to you folks, and you'd be all right with it?
We would be very okay with that. I called a few weeks ago and got to talk to Dave about some content, and I've gone back and I've listened to the recording three or four times, and I didn't understand what he was getting at then, and I do now. So the content is around living in a very small town and running into an ex-boyfriend repeatedly. And Dave kept pointing me toward, and it's very uncomfortable, and he kept pointing me toward being with the part of me who's uncomfortable. And I'm really trying to do that, but I'm also trying to juggle. I teach yoga classes, and this person shows up at them, and friends are just horrified, and they say, oh, you should throw him out and not let him be in your class. That's inappropriate. And I'm trying to figure out some balance here around the both of us being okay and the situation being unhealthy. But I really need some guidance.
Without getting into too much content, what is unhealthy?
He's a married man with another girlfriend and still interested in having a relationship with me.
Uh-huh.
And that, to me, to be unhealthy for me.
Are you interested in having a relationship with him?
Back when he was only married, I did have a relationship with him, and I finally decided that wasn't good for me, and I broke it off. And so there's been 6 months of no contact, and all of a sudden it's just flaring up. He's everywhere I go.
But that's not my question. My question is, are you interested in having a relationship with him?
I am having physical responses that I once would have interpreted as I desperately am infatuated with this person.
Okay, now we've hit unhealthy,
yeah.
Right? Because, you know, if it's discomfort because there's some sort of unfinished business or whatever, or somebody's, you know, a young part of you is upset about or, you know, being uncomfortable with, I'm with Dave. You know, it's working with the part of you who is uncomfortable. If the situation is one that feels like you're putting yourself in some way, excuse me just a moment, in harm's way, that it's really not good for you to be in that situation. And so I think I'm with you there. Do you feel like you can't trust yourself to be in that situation?
To be in, simply to be in contact with one another, to be the yoga teacher?
To have him in your yoga class or to be around him when you're in the same place.
I don't know, Sherry. I'll get centered and then all of a sudden I will just disappear into this feverish state for 4 days, and I am recording around it, so I can go back and listen to that, and something will get me centered again. But I guess that I have some uh, I think that I could teach the yoga class just fine, and then I need to lock the door and rush out and not stay to, you know, talk or...
Yeah, and so you can have those boundaries for yourself, right?
I don't know. We run into each other just constantly now, and I don't know whether I just smile and say, "Oh, how nice you're here," and then
here's the thing. You can decide on whatever behavior you want to decide on. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you could conceivably make it clear that you are not going to have any interaction at all.
I tried that, and that wound up feeling. I was telling Dave, by ignoring him, I wound up feeling like I disappeared. So
okay,
that
here's the deal. This is my projection about what's going on. That what you're identified with is somebody who wants to be in this situation.
I come and go from being identified with that.
Yeah, and until you get clear about that, there is no solution. Because whatever direction is offered, that's not going to work because
that part still wants to be in that situation.
Well, the person who's there wants to be in that situation, and so anything that's offered as a way out, there's a reason it's not going to work. And the reason that it's really not going to work is that she wants to be in this situation.
So what do I do with her? I mean, that's an aspect of me, right?
Yes, it is. And so, and that's the, what you're asking is the spiritual question that each one of us has, because what we're attempting to do is get to a centered place and not allow karma to control our lives.
And this is utterly karmic. I mean, this...
Yeah. So this, if you had an addiction to gambling, then what has to happen is that you, from a centered place, have to make a decision that you're not going to allow gambling to be a part of your life because it is such a karmic draw for you that you cannot be trusted to be around any kind of gambling. Now, maybe at some point down the road, you could be, but right now you can't. If it's alcohol, if it's drugs, if it's whatever it is, that there's that kind of karmic draw to, we have two choices. We can either follow the karma and go through the suffering that is inevitably there for us until we actually get it that, no, I don't want to do that. Not I shouldn't do that. There's no freedom in I shouldn't do that. But to do it until I don't want to do that. There is no draw, there's no temptation. Pardon me?
I think I'm getting very close to that.
But you're not there yet. And until you, because if you were there, there wouldn't be a, well, I tried that and that was uncomfortable, or, well, that won't work because of that, or, well, no, I don't think, okay? Those are the comments that somebody makes when they are rationalizing their continuing relationship with something.
So it's really just a question of me sitting down. And in the centered place, I say that.
That's right. And so the work, what your work actually is, has nothing to do with him. Your work is to stay centered. Yeah?
So I don't throw the person away. I don't vilify the person.
It's not the... Hear me. If alcohol is your problem, you don't need to blow up distilleries. It's not about the alcohol. It's about you. So as long as you're focused on him, then you're really not addressing the problem where it lives, where it originates. And that is that you are not yet able to stay at center so that you can make a decision that your heart, that's for your heart, that's for your authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
So it is one of those dicey places, because until you are able to do that, you're going to be in this place that you're in. But it's not about changing the externals.
Okay.
Which is what karma and conditioning wants us to do. If he weren't there, if this situation were, if only, then, and it's all that karmic conditioning world of suffering. And what it really comes down to is your practice of bringing your attention back to center, where you know what choices you want to make for yourself. And when you're there, and when you're in center, it isn't a problem. He can be anywhere and do anything. It's not a problem for you. In the same way that as long as I want to take that drug, then I have to try to orchestrate my entire life never to encounter that drug. But when I have no longer any interest at all in that drug, then it can be right there in front of me, and it has no attraction.
Okay, and that was what I was kind of fumbling toward on my own. So, well, I see my job here.
Yeah, and the good news, Nancy, is that it's the same job for all of us. We're all doing the same thing. We're all required to do exactly the same thing, regardless of the content. And that's what confuses people. Because the content is different, it seems like what we're attempting is different. But it's always get your attention back here to now, to center, where you know that life is living you. Be in this moment, and there are no problems.
Well, it sounds lovely, and I guess I can use these horrible physical sensations as a reminder that I'm not at center.
Yes. Exactly so. In the same way that, you know, the caller uses the, I can't even remember now what the heck we were talking about, but it's a flag to, you have to quit practice. Oh, right. Okay, let's see. What do I love about practice? I love this and this and this and this and this. So there are those sensations. All right? So you can use those sensations to come into your body, to turn your attention to your heart, to the life that you want to live, to what's important to you, to who you want to be. You find those sensations, and you go with those. And the ones that you have a karmic tendency to attend to simply lose their power.
So it's not about staying with the bad feelings.
No. No.
It's about turning my attention away from them.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, because staying with it, what happens? It kicks you into a story. The story increases the feelings. That increases the emotions. That increases the story. That increases the sensations. Now, if you want to, just as a practice, with those sensations or any other sensations, to just sit there and breathe until they are no longer there, that's great. I would suggest that that's the kind of thing that you can do in meditation more easily than walking around in the world.
But just be with the sensations. Don't go into any sort of story.
Because they don't mean anything. They're just sensations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can do that.
All right. Keep me posted.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much.
Nancy, good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carol from Philly.
Hello, Carol from Philly.
How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
This is my first time calling, so I'm a little nervous.
Well, you don't have to be nervous. You know us.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
And it's
perfectly fine to be nervous.
I think it's raining here. I'm not sure.
What's going on?
Well, I had an experience over the weekend where, I don't have to go into content, but I had such an experience of the mentor being with me in the moment, and it was just such conditional love that I knew. I mean, it was like it was such a feeling, strong feeling that...
Of conditional or unconditional?
Oh, unconditional.
Oh, okay.
It was like because I heard something that I really needed to hear that I got from myself. I was talking with someone else, and they were trying to make me feel better, and, oh, there's nothing wrong with you and all that. And then I think what I needed to hear was, I'm so sorry you had to suffer like that. And the minute I said that to myself, it was like, oh, that's what it sounds like. You know, my mentor, it was so clearly that.
Uh-huh.
And so what I'm curious about is, I feel like that is, it's so present moment that the mentor steps in and that says, there is nothing wrong with you, with me. And the minute, it's almost like if I put a comma after that, you know, and if I want to suffer less, and that is when conditioning steps in and says, you know, if you want to feel less stupid, or if you want to do this, you know, if you want to suffer less, just go do something that will make you smarter. you see what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I can't seem to get past there is nothing wrong with you. And then it seems like conditioning has to always finish the sentence.
Yes. And so the good news is that you've seen that.
Oh, great.
Isn't that true?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what we get when we see something like that is what conditioning has successfully done to cause us to suffer.
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And so it's really bad when self-hate is doing that kind of thing to me, and I don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I know it, now I have a chance here. Yeah? Now, of course, what we're meant to do is feel bad when we actually catch on to what's been happening.
Huh.
Are you following me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But that's actually the point of celebration.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm following you. Yeah.
Yeah, because now you can take charge of what's going to happen here. So instead of waiting for the system to do what it does, to set you up, and you take it over, and you say what is true. You. In a conversation with the mentor, just the two of you, talk about what is actually so and true.
I guess I just need to keep the mentor in place after those words. There's nothing wrong with you.
Yes.
Well, come back. I'm in the moment.
Well, and so you can take charge of that, right? There's nothing wrong with you. You're a beautiful human being. You're a really good person. You are, you know, and you add what is true there. And then you listen to that. So that there's no opening for conditioning. If you see where the opening for conditioning has been, you close it.
I think I get it. I do. Wow. So it's a matter of not letting the floodgates open the minute I say there's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah, yeah, and you watch for it, because now you see how it's being done. And, it, you know, people kind of alarmed. So I see what's been happening. Now I'm afraid for it to happen. Well, you don't have to be afraid for it to happen. It's happened all kinds of times, and you've survived it just fine. So now you can watch for it to happen, and you're ready to step in. Now you can take that whole system and turn it around to use it to your advantage. Because it's in the realm of consciousness now. So now you can be in charge.
Just so aware of, you guys aren't kidding when you say present moment. I mean, whoa, that it is practice.
Yes.
It's just practice in every moment.
Yes. Yeah, so you can just go around saying there's nothing wrong with you and then just wait a beat.
I did go out and buy my recording device.
Good for you.
I just have to use it.
That's right. And now you shall. And so
I can just make hours of,
oh,
there's nothing wrong with you. Click,
precisely.
There's nothing wrong with you.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, exactly. It would be a great recording. And my favorite way to do that kind of thing is, there's nothing wrong with you. And then wait for long enough for you to repeat that back. So you could say, you know, you hear, there's nothing wrong with you. And you might, in that little gap afterwards, say, there's nothing wrong with you. And then the mentor's voice says, there's nothing wrong with you. There's a little gap, and you say, you could do that for days.
I was going to say, it's kind of like learning a foreign language, but
yes,
hopefully it won't be so foreign.
No, no. And so every time you see one of those places where it's done it to you forever, now you can grab that and turn it around, and you will be speaking the exact healing, comforting, nurturing messages that you need. How do you know what those are? Because they're the exact opposite to what you have been hearing.
Oh, boy.
It's a good system, really. It's a good deal. It tells you, it gives you the opposite of everything you need. So as soon as you catch on to what it's saying, you just flip it over and you're home. For instance, the voice would not tell you you're stupid if you were.
Huh.
You see? The only reason it needs to say that is that you're not. And the only hope that it has is that you will believe it when it says you are, and you will then act accordingly. You'll feel bad. You'll feel inferior. You won't put yourself forward. You won't do the things that make you happy and bring you joy. You see?
Wow. You make it sound so easy.
And it is. That's the beauty.
Easy but not simple.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Well, I know there was
it's simple and easy. As soon as we make this little shift that we're talking about, then it becomes really obvious and pretty darn straightforward.
That feels good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me know how it goes when you get this device up and running.
I will. And you get
the voices of self-hate on the run.
Yes, I will.
Good. Great to hear from you.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Is it that time already?
It's that time, and I want to graciously acknowledge Todd, who has been waiting on hold and passed up his turn, and we look forward to hearing from him in the
very
future.
Very soon. Yeah. Good. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.